Britain reports an increase in terror suspects attempting to board planes to the U.S. A TSA agent may have been fired for a joke that wasn't funny. And AirVenture will celebrate the diamond anniversary of the B-17. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 27th, 2010. There are signs that something beyond more security theater may be coming of the Christmas Day underpants bomber. Two men, an Egyptian and a Saudi Arabian whose names appeared on a no-fly list, were caught before they could board flights in the UK bound for the US this past weekend. One attempted to board an American flight, the other United. Britain's Home Secretary Alan Johnson has raised his country's threat level to highly likely. That's the second highest level. The Mirror UK cites official sources in reporting there has been an unusually high number of people on no-fly lists trying to board flights to the U.S., and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will be in Britain this week for high-level meetings focusing on Yemen and Afghanistan. The Mirror also reports that Immigration Minister Phil Woolis will expand police powers to allow looking at balances in the bank accounts of foreign students entering the country to see if they actually have enough money to cover academic courses. ABC reports a TSA screener at Philadelphia thought it would be fun to plant a bag of white powder to scare a college student having her carry-on checked. 22-year-old Rebecca Solomon says she was asked, quote, "Where did you get this from?" unquote, and left to stammer and stutter for nearly a minute before the agent admitted he was, quote, "just kidding," unquote. ABC News reports that Solomon detailed the incident in an editorial in her college newspaper, The Michigan Daily. She writes that she asked for a supervisor who immediately removed the agent from the screening area. TSA told ABC in a written statement that the agent is no longer employed by the agency. It's not clear whether he was fired or his leaving was just part of TSA's routine job turnover. The Boeing B-17 Flying Fortress, possibly the most readily recognized bomber of the World War II era, will have the spotlight for its 75th anniversary during EAA AirVenture Oshkosh this summer. Only about 15 remain airworthy worldwide. One of them is EAA's own aluminum overcast. It's expected that at least four B-17s will be on hand at Oshkosh. The exact 75th anniversary date of the B-17's first flight is July 28, 1935. That comes during AirVenture Week. EAA's Tom Poberesny observes, quote, "Nothing can match seeing and hearing these magnificent airplanes in person, especially when a significant number can gather in one place. The natural place for this celebration is AirVenture, where this year we are also organizing a major national salute to veterans program," unquote. Boeing built almost 7,000 B-17s, and 5,700 more were built by Douglas and Lockheed. Most were scrapped after the war, and a few used as target drones in the 60s. EAA's aluminum overcast survived because it was purchased as surplus for $750 in the mid-1940s. Up next on ANN, UAVs may soon be helping lawyers. Dare Sakata says 2009 was a good year for TBMs. And Gamma welcomes Catherine Fraser. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 27th. I'm Paul Plack. Pretty soon, it'll be time to write the book 101 Uses for UAVs. Even lawyers now find their assistance valuable. Mundus Group has signed a letter of intent with Litigation Animation Incorporated to provide forensic images for animation used in litigation. The camera platform will be UAVs manufactured by its subsidiary, Airstar. Aerial images, photographs from an unmanned rotorcraft, will be used to create a 3D model, check for sight lines, and take juries to accident scenes in a way only possible in the past with very expensive manned flights. UAVs can also do it with less danger to people and property on the ground. The data can also be used to calibrate vehicle velocities in an accident recreation. Dare Sakata released data Monday showing that 36 TBM 850s were delivered in 2009. That makes 184 total since its introduction less than 4 years ago. That puts the worldwide TBM fleet at 507 and counting. Senior VP Nicolas Chabert observes, quote, "In today's challenging times, we have to thank the loyalty and confidence of our customers and the commitment and support excellence of Daer Sakata and its network of distributors," unquote. Noting that the number of TBM 700s and 850s on the used market was under 10% of the fleet at the end of 2009, below the expected average of 13%, he added, quote, "This underscores the TBM's role as a true asset, the aircraft's quality-to-price ratio, its very low operating costs, and a comprehensive network of service centers around the world do the rest," unquote. Catherine Fraser is the new manager of operations for the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. She earned a B.S. in aeronautical technology from Kansas State University Salina and is a commercial pilot and certified flight instructor. GAMA President Pete Bunce commented, quote, "Catherine's background in flight operations and aviation technology will make her a tremendous asset to the GAMA staff and our members. With the magnitude of safety and operational issues our industry is engaged with around the globe, Catherine's educational background and flight experience will immediately be utilized to address and facilitate General Aviation's worldwide agenda," unquote. Catherine's a native of McPherson, Kansas. She currently lives in Washington, D.C. Still ahead, the FAA says use it or lose it. Learn to work with composites through an online course. And Mach 1 without an aircraft? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 27th. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA has notified the Commonwealth Ports Authority of Saipan in the Northern Marianas that it may recall funding for a runway project if there's not significant progress at the airport soon. The airport's executive director, Edward De Leon Guerrero, notified his board that FAA inspectors who recently visited Saipan had expressed concern about the standby status of the project and said they'd pull funds for a temporary runway rehabilitation if the project does not move forward as scheduled. The Saipan Tribune reports that the FAA has provided $4 million, and while much of the work has been completed, it must still be certified by the FAA before it can be used. That's being held up by the failure of the authority to conduct a land survey of the new runway and development of a flight procedure agreement among those who would use it. De Leon Guerrero says a meeting has been set among airport stakeholders February 2nd to work on the flight procedure agreement. The project's total cost will be about $13 million. Wichita State University's National Institute for Aviation Research and Wichita Area Technical College are collaborating to host an online composites maintenance technology course starting March 1st. The course will focus on critical composite materials maintenance and repair safety issues, and it costs either $950 in the non-credit version or $1,174 in the form that counts as 2 hours credit at WATC. The course will provide an awareness of composite materials technology principles with a focus on repair and maintenance and associated safety issues. The course is sponsored by the FAA and was created by experts in composite materials organizations. The typical student time commitment averages 70 hours over the 8-week period. Get more details in the text version of this story, dated January 26th, at aero-news.net. And finally today, many of us would love the chance to break the speed of sound. But how many would stay in the game if you had to do it without an aircraft around you? Pilot and skydiver Felix Baumgartner announced on Friday that as part of the Red Bull Stratus mission, he hopes to ascend to at least 120,000 feet in a capsule lifted by a helium balloon and then, protected only by a pressurized spacesuit, launch a free-fall jump that could exceed Mach 1, more than 690 miles an hour, before eventually pulling his chute. Retired U.S. Air Force Captain Joe Kittinger, who made a 1960 skydive from almost 103,000 feet, is consulting on the project. Quote, People have been trying to break my records for 50 years, and many have died in the attempt. But I believe that with our unique assets, an extraordinary mission team, the dedication of Red Bull, and Felix Baumgartner's outstanding skills, Red Bull Stratus will succeed, unquote. And if you're saying, man, I wish I could be there to watch. Well, in a way, you can. The jump will be the subject of a full-length documentary film called Space Dive, expected to air in the U.S. and the U.K. within weeks after the dive. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell wraps up the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo at Sebring. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.